Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
So do you get upgrades as a bona fide celeb? Celebs, I should say.
Oh, well, I know it's quite hard to forget this.
We do occasionally get
upgrades.
Get some nice cheeky upgrades.
But mainly, can I ask a second question?
When have we ever got an upgrade?
When we went to Barbados?
Yeah, but that was organised before. That was... We didn't turn up to the airport and they gave us an upgrade. We'd organised the
trip. You remember how you were on that day?
Oh my God. Long story short, I woke up on the flight holding a video camera. I don't even remember how I got on.
He was so drunk that we were worried that he wouldn't be allowed on the plane.
I don't remember anything.
What was this for? Was it work?
Come straight from, no, we were going out. Well,
I was feeling incredibly anxious and I hadn't slept.
He was obliterated. And then he was like, I need to buy a camera. And he went and bought like a video camera, like in its sort of. I'm really surprised that they let you on.
What we're going to do is, if you go onto our Instagram at Private Podcast, we're going to post the picture of me on the trolley before I got on the flight. Mm.
We had to push him to the security on a trolley because he was like passed out.
Yeah,
not one of those ones with the flashing lights.
No, just a normal luggage trolley. I was in a
I think me and Proudlock were probably reasonably hungover, but you were just completely fucked.
Proudlock and I.
But wait, so talk to me about this upgrade business. You rock up to the check-in and they see, okay, it's a whole bunch of guys from Made in Chelsea. Okay,
are you thinking because you're now a famous author, Doctor?
Well, someone's got to get a fucking upgrade somehow.
I'm slumming it.
Is there a doctor on the plane? Yes. Can I have an upgrade, please?
Prove it.
I reckon you just walk up. You walk up to the check-in place, and you walk up, and you let your book.
You just
get the anxious man just slip out.
Just drop one on the table.
Drop one on the
and
table.
And get the book out. Yeah.
And you just go, hey, listen, I wrote this, and they'll go, really? And you go, yeah. If I sign it for you, do I get an upgrade? And they'll just probably say no. That's what normally happens. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to part two of Private Parts. We're still here with Josh Roberts, the author of The Anxious Man.
Hello.
Josh, hey, listen, as I said before, super excited to have you on because there are so many. I just think this is the year for everyone to tackle their own demons and things like that. We spoke of before, like briefly, like saying that you had this sort of feeling for 6 to 12 months before you kind of started to sort of really change your life and do things differently. What did you start to change that started to make a difference?
Yeah, so there's a number of different things I did. I changed my relationship with booze quite significantly.
Do you think alcohol is a big thing?
Definitely. I mean, for me, I think it's different for different people. But if I have, even now, so I do drink now, but I just drink a lot less than I ever did.
I thought I was going to say, I just drink a lot.
Drink a lot, mostly in the mornings. ahead of podcasts. So I changed my relationship with booze. I went from, you know, being a fairly atypical binge drinker, mid-20s binge drinker, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, to really not drinking in the week at all. And if I do booze on the weekends, it will be fairly low-level stuff. I started exercising So I was a complete couch potato before all this happened to me. And now I run three times a week, go to the gym a couple of times a week. I also started doing CBT, like we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
So at the start, I was doing that once a week. That was for about 6 months at the start. And now I do that much less regularly, probably once every 3 months.
And do you take the THC as well, or just the CBT?
The JLS.
Well, JLS the band.
Yeah, they've been a big help. My heart will beat again. No, so it's all
Ashton Merigold.
Ashton.
I had a falling out with the JLS crew, didn't I? Do you remember?
Why did you?
He backflipped, didn't you?
No, because I got them mixed up with this other band that was similar.
Oh yeah. You're thinking of the Wanted.
Yes. Yeah. So I said the Wanted walked past.
Where was this?
There's some event. I can't remember what it was. It was some sort
Teen Heartthrob Awards.
Yeah, no, it was some sort
you
of event.
Award.
It was the Oscars.
Yeah, it was at the Oscars. And I said,
it was at the White House. Yeah.
Francis was hosting.
And I asked one of the people who was like, one of my handlers for the day.
Wait, hang on a second. Let's start. You had a handler, as in a bodyguard.
Yes, no, it's not a bodyguard. Someone who's just like worked at the event and was like
a lackey.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I said, "Oh, is that JLS?" And the Wanted overheard me say, "Is that mistake them for JLS?" And then they basically started. One of the guys started like pouring out all this abuse towards me on Twitter.
So what did he say? What did he say?
It was like I don't know. I can't.
Oh God, having a fight with the Wanted.
Yeah, it was hilarious. But I've forgotten. I even forgotten that there was the Wanted. I thought they were JLS. But anyway, I'm sure we can find it on Twitter somewhere.
I wonder what was the Wanted song.
The Wanted song was, oh God,
because JLS had some bangers, but I don't remember.
Please Want Us.
The Wanted. I actually know some guys from the Wanted.
Here we go.
Hey, listen, us celebs, we run in similar circles.
Well, you that sort of celeb. Yeah.
What do you mean that's what I said? This is their hit song was Glad You Came.
I'm glad you came.
And which Francis.
What?
I was going to make a joke about.
We were sexing at the sex pun there.
Yeah. I was going to make a joke about coming in. And it was so shit, I couldn't actually get it out. Anyway, Josh, back to you. So you tried.
This is going to be one hell of a pivot.
Yeah. Back to where you were. Okay. You tried CBD. So you're trying CBD.
CBT.
Sorry, yeah. CBT.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you had started to exercise and you had done all these different things and you had changed your life in certain ways. Did you realise that stress from work and stress from life was creating? Did you realise, as much as we said, you don't want to find a cause so that makes you almost anxious, but realise what was causing it?
So slowly you start to realise patterns in the way that you're feeling and the behaviours and things that have happened to you in the preceding days and weeks. Yeah, I stayed in jobs. I changed jobs. It was in a job that I didn't like that like actively made me unhappy, so I changed jobs. That was a big difference.
That's quite a hard moment as well. That's because a lot of people would, life is about having security, right? And if you suddenly go, well, I don't want to do this, you're changing your life totally. That's those big changes that you need to make, right?
And particularly if you're catastrophizing about having this disorder that's going to fuck up your life.
Yeah.
And then you find yourself changing jobs. You think, okay, am I changing jobs because I want to, or am I changing jobs because the thoughts in my head are making me do it, kind of thing.
Totally.
So it's a tricky one, but
so was it a similar job?
No, I went from working.
You went from one job that you didn't like, just changed jobs to a similar job.
I became a barista for a few months. No, I was working in a bank, and I went from working in a bank to not working in a bank, and that was a big change for me.
What, because you felt more purpose? You felt more...
Significantly more purpose. I was much busier. And it was just, when you're doing a job that you feel, that you enjoy, everything else in your life kind of picks up too. And I think when you put all of those different things together, like changing my relationship with booze, exercising, CBT, changing jobs, all those kinds of things, seeing my friends a lot more, but in a kind of... I think nowadays we spend a lot of very thin time with our friends, and it was moving from, just going to a pub to actually going for a walk and chatting to people and kind of yeah, bringing all of those things together, I think that's what kind of helped me turn a corner.
Do you know what's funny? I sat with a psychologist, actually. I had lunch with him the other day, one of the top in London, and we were talking about lots of different things, and he spoke about there are sort of four elements, four ingredients to happiness, in a sense. And actually, he spoke about two things. Firstly, so he said that. Secondly, he said that there's something called the Harvard experiment. They got a group of guys in Harvard, 19 years old, and followed them throughout their entire lives, checked on them every 2 years. Some became presidents, some became different things, and some have died, now they're in their 90s.
Some became presidents?
Yeah, two of them became presidents, yeah. These guys that they started searching from 19 years old. It's called the Harvard experiment.
Which presidents?
I don't know which ones.
I don't think it was Trump.
Yeah, I don't think it was Trump. But they asked them, you know, and there's lots of interesting things that happened, but when they were 19 years old, they asked them, what do you want in life? And they said success, power, all those different things.
Yeah.
And they asked them at the end of their lives, what made you happy? And they said relationships and things. And he said there are four ingredients to stereotypically a happy, less anxious life. It's having a monogamous relationship, someone that you love and you want to be with, and not actually this sort of playboy lifestyle actually doesn't make you happy. You know, second to like what...
But you're selling out to prove them wrong.
No, but it's true. But it's true. You know, you Hollywood has glorified these sort of playboys, right? Where you live this amazing lifestyle and sleep with lots of different people. And actually, that's... And women as well. You know, if you want to, you know, being a sort of player as a woman as well, you know, this doesn't make you happy. Second one is having strong relationships with friends and family, where it's not you just pick up the phone and call them, but actually you see them, you spend lunches with them, you have dinners with them, you spend time with them. That's key. Third one is enjoying your work, liking actually what you do, because if you like what you do, then time passes without you thinking about it, and that's important. And the last one is actually having an imprint on the world, doing something that we feel like you're making a difference, whatever that may be, being a mother, being a hairdresser, being an entertainer, being an archaeologist, it doesn't matter, but you're having a difference on the world. And those four ingredients, if you've got those, you're most likely going to be happy.
I guess if you're an archaeologist, you're literally making an imprint on the world.
Yeah, well, all those things. but so Josh, you had all these issues, you had all these problems, and then I suppose what started to happen with you is that, and what happened with me as well in certain scenarios, is that you suddenly have those moments of clarity where suddenly the clouds, these grey clouds, these stormy clouds which are above you that have been there for so long, suddenly for maybe it's a brief moment, maybe it's a minute, maybe it's 2 minutes, maybe it's a half an hour, maybe it's an hour, they suddenly part and you feel okay again.
Yeah.
And when those start to happen, it's almost euphoric for you, isn't it?
Absolutely. So, and that's what recovery for most people feels like, and it has been for me. What happens is the anxious or depressive episodes become shorter and the distances between them grow longer. And after a while you realise, oh, wait a minute, I've been, you know, like the clarity or peace of mind that you describe. You go, shit, I've actually had more of that recently than I have had anxiety or depression. And yeah, I'm at a stage now where I still have these problems. I don't think you're ever cured.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I don't think it works like that. But I spend much more of my time cheerful and happy and contented than I do anxious or depressed.
Yeah, I think it's like how you deal with it, right? Because obviously life is, in its very essence, this continuous loss of what once was and suffering, right? That's what life is. So you're always going to have these things which have the propensity to make you anxious. But I think when you realize that that's life.
Yeah.
And then you learn to accept.
And once you've lived through it, through a few bad ones, yeah. You go, oh, wait a minute. Well, it was this bad before and then it got better. So chances are this will probably get better. And again, going back to what we were talking about right at the start, once you come to accept that, you know, it might get better, but then it might get worse, but then it might get better and so on and so forth. Once you come to accept that, you start to notice that actually it stays better for longer.
But did you also, you know, when you... because a lot of people who are probably, they may be experiencing this at the moment, whether that's anxiety, depression, all these different things, and probably some people may not be experiencing it at all, but some people may be experiencing such low times that they find it very hard to believe that they can get out of this moment where they are right now. And, you know, I know how I felt, but this is, you know, it's not about me. How bad were you?
Yeah, so at the end of the first year, if I hadn't made the changes that I made, there's no doubt in my mind I would have killed myself at the end of the first year. That was kind of the plan. Well, there's lots of different stages to committing suicide. One of them is making a plan, as in I'm going to go to a train station or I'm going to go to B&Q and buy a rope or whatever the fuck it is. Mm. Never quite got to that stage, but I definitely reached in November or December of that first year the sensation that I really can't do this anymore. And I really, if this is what my life looks like, I'm not that interested in living it. To your point, Jamie, about, you're absolutely right. There's this quite trite, but I think appropriate phrase about the view always being worst from the valley floor. Mm. So when you're in the bottom of the valley, you can't ever conceive of being better again.
I like that.
Yeah. And my experience and what I'm trying to do in this book is to reiterate to people, it always gets better. And it might get worse, but at some point it will always, always get better. And that it's always worth carrying on. Mm-hmm. And that's been my experience. And I can take that and apply it to all different areas. Like with sleeping, I sleep now, unless the fucking Battersea clog dancers who live upstairs are up to their usual tricks, I can sleep pretty well most nights of the week now. And there was a time when I really
clog
didn't sleep.
Clog dancers?
They're not clog dancers, but I've got this
mad reeling. They're probably
woman.
Doing reeling.
Well, I think she's a clog dancer and he's a Battersea furniture moving champion because these fuckers are up all night moving their furniture and dancing around. But if I, you know... There was a time when, if you'd asked me, I would have told you, I would have signed an affidavit saying I will never sleep normally again, and now I do. And so, underlining what you were saying, it's always, always possible to get better, and it's always worth the slog.
Joss, that's why it's so important. I'm so happy that you have written this book, The Anxious Man, and actually spoken about it, because it's so right. You know, going from a place that you were in, someone who was suicidal... thinking that there was no way out and not really understanding what was going on, whether your life was going to go out. You know, you really hit that rock bottom, and knowing that you came out of it and that I've spoken to a lot of people and seen a lot of people and all these different things, and people have come out of it. It's really important. You know, I've mentioned this before, but I think it's important to mention again. I saw this very short documentary of a guy who jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco. And he jumped off it and he survived. And he went and did a research and spoke to different survivors who had done it. Mm. Over 3,000 people had jumped off the bridge committing suicide that they've recorded. 18 survivors, including him. He's the 19th. He spoke to every single survivor, and each survivor had one thing in common. They all felt immediate regret as soon as they jumped. And suicide.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just that, you know, suicide, as Francis and I, we both say, is an instant relief to a solvable situation. And if you are feeling that low and you are feeling that terrible and you feel like there is...
Well, it's a permanent solution to a temporary problem.
Totally right, yeah.
So it's kind of, by its very essence, irrational.
Yeah, without a doubt. And so
people who are in a suicidal phase are not acting rationally, you know?
Yeah, one of the things I would say around, one of the things you hear very often when people commit suicide is this phrase, how selfish. You've heard that, and people say, think of the family, think of the friends, whatever. Well, I can tell you, when you're that low, when you're that close to the edge, pretty much your friends and family is all you think about.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not enough. And that's why people end up taking their own lives. But it's always, as you said, it's it might not seem this way, but it's a curable disease.
Totally. Mm.
Yeah.
And I think that's my point, is that it is really important to go out there to talk about it. If you've had it for all of the 2019 or longer than that, you know, this is a new year. It's January. It's the time to go and change that, to start talking about it, to go and get help, start exercising, start looking after yourself. It will pass without a doubt. It does get better as long as you start focusing on those different things. You know, I've stopped drinking alcohol for the moment.
How are you finding that, by the way?
Yeah, it's been pretty, if I'm totally honest, it's been pretty tough.
I find weddings difficult.
Oh, I just didn't realize I used alcohol so much as a crutch for social situations and things like that, and it's been a pretty difficult couple of months in terms of just figuring things out. But hopefully, again, things get better and you get to the end of that. And I actually wanted to speak about in another episode of these things. But you know, honestly, Josh, I kind of think if you are having a tricky time and you're not feeling your best and all these different things, go and buy Josh's book, The Anxious Man. You know, you've had people like Stephen Fry say amazing things about it. You've had your girlfriend, which I find hilarious. She has written a comment on the back, and it says from Callie
McCrill,
girlfriend of the author of The Anxious Man. And her quote is, "Yep, and not bad." And even better, your quote, "Josh Roberts, the debut author of Anxious Man, the best book I have ever written."
This is the best book I've ever written.
But it is. People have really, really taken to it.
So can you pre-order it now?
So yeah, you can pre-order it now from Amazon, and then it'll arrive through your letterbox on the day that it comes out, which is in April, 16th of April.
Sweet.
And there's an audiobook, and...
Do you read the audiobook?
Yeah, I've just been reading it. It's a very, actually exhausting process.
Yeah.
And also you realise how much, well, I don't know if you have this when you record the podcast, but my stomach rumbling is a real issue.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The guy said, don't eat, nil by mouth before I do the next recording, because we kept having to go back and do stuff.
And also you start thinking, am I doing that well? Am I doing this? And you overthink stuff the Definitely. Whole entire time. Honestly, go and pre-order this book. It's amazing. You know, it says on the back, told with originality, wit and great humour, it's an essential guide for mental health and a thought-provoking exploration of the millennial condition. Josh, man, honestly, thank you so...
No, thanks for having me. It's been cool.
Hey, listen, before you go, we've got to have the answer to the question of the week.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Well, I guess yes. So the answer to the question of the week was... do you remember your answer?
Mine was people shoving Lego figurines up their arse.
I said, what's been happening to Lego faces...
I set up noses.
Well, they'll actually be getting angrier.
Oh.
The Lego ink have been slowly making the faces angrier.
Why have they done that?
I don't know. It's quite weird, isn't it?
It's really weird.
Gosh, I wonder why.
Yeah, I don't know. Look. Why have they made... What are you going to show us?
I'm going to show you a picture of them getting angrier.
Yeah, but it's a podcast. We can't show anyone else that. Look. Oh, yeah, they have... Well, that's really angry.
Yeah. Jesus, that guy. Yeah, he's had a terrible day.
They're really angry. What's going to happen when they get... I don't know. Are they going to get happy again?
I don't know, man. Hey, I don't know. Hey, Francis, we don't have time for your diary. I'm so sorry.
Oh, well, I'll just have to read it on another one.
Read it on another one.
Read it on another one.
Read it on another one. Josh, have you had fun, man?
I've had a great time. Thank you so much for having me.
No,
really.
Honestly.
Thanks for talking about mental health, because it's a really important topic and not enough people talk about it.
It's so key. I want to say one more time, go and grab The Anxious Man, Notes on a Life Lived Nervously by Josh Roberts. Dr. Josh Roberts.
Oh, shit.
Doctor, can you... Why are you clapping? Why are you...
Just liked the way you called him Dr. Roberts.
Josh, what we like to do at the end of the podcast is leave our listeners with something inspirational.
Oh, okay. What, like a quote or something?
Whatever you
Anything.
Want.
Well, okay, so this is a phrase, again, very trite, but I like a lot, is very simple. This too shall pass. And it's, I think it's from an ancient poem. But I like it because it sums up everything I'm trying to do in this book, which is, like we were saying, things might get worse, but they'll always, always get better.
This wasn't that Gandalf, is it? No, that's that. You shall not pass. Yeah,
is it a Gandalf?
No. So he said, "No, you shall not pass." Sorry, I was
you shall.
This is a total opposite. Yes, that is a total
just
opposite.
Undermining my inspirational quote.
Sorry.
Gandalf,
you shall not pass.
Sorry, this too shall pass.
Do you know what? I'm starting to realise what the wanted were on.
Yeah, Francis is a wanker.
Yeah. The unwanted.
The unwanted.
Josh Roberts, thank you so much. We'll see you next week, everybody. Bye bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.